I want you to turn first of all tonight to the book of Nahum. Nahum or Nahum, whichever you might choose. The book of Nahum. It's by the book of Micah. And I want us to read, first of all, the third verse. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. There are a number of things that could be spoken of and ought to be spoken of in this verse. But there's one particular part of it that I want us to look at tonight. And I want us to be reminded of it as we sit here tonight wondering. Wondering about the storm. Wondering about Hurricane Dorian. Will it come here? When will it come? If it comes, how powerful and damaging will it be? I'm sure of this, after the last few days, it has clearly stumped the weather people. They predict one thing, and it does the other. They predict that it will go in a direction and it goes in another direction. And they've changed their forecast. Oh, you can tell it so much that they hate it. They hate it when what they forecast doesn't come true. Sometimes I think that they almost would delight in the destruction it would bring. But it has been clear in every way that man cannot forecast the storm. And it is equally true and more true that he definitely cannot control it. And when these things come, like they're barreling down on us right now, when it's in the news so much, we have a clear reminder of just what Nahum said in this verse. He said, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." Here, as in many ways, but especially here, is an open, obvious, clear illustration of God's absolute sovereignty. But what men don't seem to want to acknowledge, they won't even acknowledge it in the storm. But it says here, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. That's the hurricane and the tornado and such. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. But if you took off those last words, the whirlwind and the storm, the rest of that phrase would still be true. It would simply say, the Lord hath His way. Not just in the storm, not just in the whirlwind, but the Lord has His way. He is in absolute, total control of everything. He has His way. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar was forced to acknowledge and did acknowledge after the Lord got through dealing with him, who himself was a kind of earthly sovereign king. He thought he not only did all that he did well, but he did whatever he pleased. But look here in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, or I'll read it to you. He confesses at the end of his days under the teaching and instructing of God, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, question Him, what doest thou? The Lord has His way. And just as sure as He has His way in all of heaven, He has His way in all of earth. Not just the events, not just the storms and such as that. He has His way with every man, woman, boy, and girl. And He especially, it includes all things on the earth, all people on the earth, all events on the earth, and most of all, and this is the area that men think He has control least of, but He hath His way in all things pertaining to salvation. When it comes to the salvation of sinners, the Lord has His way. And by that simply, we know that He does what He will, and He saves whom He will. He saves them how He will and when He will. He's an absolute sovereign in all things, and especially He rules and has determined all things in salvation. Who's saved? Who's lost? When they're saved? How they're saved, all that pertains to salvation. And this is bad news to rebels. But it's good news to His people. You look down in verse 4 through verse 6 and see what it says about Him. He rebukes the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. And who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Nobody can stand before his indignation just simply naturally, as it is demonstrated on the earth by hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and earthquakes and all. Nobody can stand before his indignation. But the other side of that coin is, while the Lord has his way in judgment, he has his way in all of these things that come upon men. He has his ways in what we call natural disasters. But most importantly, he has his way in salvation. He saves, and there is not anybody that can stop him. He does what he will in the hearts of men, but especially in the hearts of his people. He does what he will with them, and what he does with them, he does in grace. I love the term omnipotent grace. The Lord demonstrates omnipotent grace. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and listen to what Paul tells us in this epistle. I'm always amazed at people who think they can hide these things from people in order to make God more palatable. But the truth is, it says here in Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. In other words, everything that God hath determined for his people, purposed for them, a purpose of grace, he did it all according not to their will, not according to their decision, but he did it according to his good pleasure. Everything. Look down at verse 11. In whom, that is, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. Why? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. If it had been left to the will of any sinner, if it had been left to the wills of fallen men, nobody would have anything from God. Nobody would ever have decided for God. No one would ever have been willing toward the things of God. But it's all because he acted in sovereign will and power and purpose and had his way. Have you ever insisted on something? Insisted that somebody do this a certain way, or insisted that they do this or that, and when they wouldn't do it, later on you were glad and rejoiced that they didn't do it, that they had their way. That's the way it is with God. That's the way it is with His people. When we look back in hindsight, which is always 20/20, when we look back at all the times that our way stood against His way, but He had His way anyway, boy, are we glad about it. Thankful about it. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't have my way. I'm so glad God thwarted my way, that He wouldn't allow me to do this, that I couldn't do this, but He had His way, and His way was the right way. Everything. And I thought about it today, in this day in which we are now living, with its seeming steadily decline and wickedness and even danger and all that, I can rejoice in this perfect truth. God is merciful to remind His people of this in the days in which we live, when we sometimes say, what in the world's going on? I guess you don't ever do that. But I'll hear something, or I'll read something in the paper. I'll see something on the news, and before I even know it, I'm shaking my head. What's going on? The Lord is having His way. And I fight against it so naturally. I fight against it. His will and all these things, quite obviously, isn't my will. But when it's all said and done, we look at it and we know, for whatever reason, I believe I know two reasons. He's doing it for His glory, and He's doing it to save His people by His grace and power. And when it's all over, He'll have had His way. He'll have had His way. When we say what's going on, God is simply working His perfect and predestined and wise and gracious will. That's what's going on. He's having His way. His will brings all things to pass, but in that will is included a will of mercy and grace to His elect in these all things. Let's don't ever forget that. When we look at what's going on, storms or whatever it is that it troubles in our life, or problems or whatever it is, and we look out in the greater world and we see things that we never thought we'd see in our lives, may the Lord remind us of this. That He's having His way. And I don't know if it's a term or not, a word to be used. I've heard it used a lot here in the South. But His way is way better than ours. Way better than ours. We know that His will and His way is what brought about His choice of us to be merciful to us in Christ. If He hadn't had His way, you'd never be saved. I'd never be saved. Look over in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. It says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." You know what that is? That's the Lord having his way. That's the sovereign God of the universe saying to men who deserve nothing but wrath and judgment, these that are sinners, that he cannot just acquit their sins of for no reason, upon no basis, these who there is no reason in them, nothing done by them, nothing good in them to cause him to have mercy on them. I remember I used to ride down the road in a pickup truck. I had an 8-track cassette tape player in it. I know that dates me kind of, but I did. And I had a tape by Charlie Pride in there. And one of the songs, you know, they'd always put a religious song on a country tape. I don't remember what the name of this song, but I remember a line on it. He said, I might be worth saving, Lord. Don't give up on me. Well, I weren't worth saving. But he didn't give up on me. It was never intended by him to give up on me or any other of his people. He determined before the world began and chose them in Christ and gave them all spiritual blessings in him. And when he had done all of that, he just was simply having his way. The devil said, "You can't have mercy on them. They're the worst of the lot." He said, "I will. I will." So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, "Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and he hath made known his riches, the riches of his glory, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." You say, "Well, what kind of God does that?" The Lord who has His will. The Lord who has His way. And it's no wonder that these vessels of mercy are treated in such a manner as sinners and rebels against Him. The wonder is that His way is a way of grace to the vessels of mercy. To the vessels of mercy. And not only did He do that, but we know that He brought us to spiritual life in the new birth according to His will, not our free will. Whenever Christ was talking to Nicodemus and He was telling him something for all of us to hear, things like, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except he receive life, the Spirit of life from the Holy Spirit, and be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because he can't believe. And what did he say? The wind bloweth where it listeth. It just sovereignly goes where it will. Nobody controls it. Nobody guides it. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. The Lord is having His way. And those He loved, those He chose, those He gave to His Son, in the midst of all these others, and in the midst of all that's going on, He's bringing them to the gospel. That wind is blowing upon them that guides them everywhere and brings them to the truth. They run to this place and think they have fled God, but all the time it's like His wind, the wind of His providence is blowing them to a certain place and a certain time that He'll visit them with His Spirit. And give them faith and life. And no matter what takes place in the world today, including this hurricane, God's will keeps His people secure. It seems like oftentimes that they'll be destroyed, that they'll be consumed. It seems like while we wait for this world, which He says will be destroyed by fire this time instead of a flood, it'll be destroyed by fire in the brightness of His coming. In the last days, there'll be perilous times and many wicked ones and false prophets and everything that characterizes what Christ called the last days. But in 2 Peter 3, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the way most men define that verse or interpret that verse, it's usually a half a verse, a third verse. They just say, well, there are lots of people dying and go to hell, but the Lord is really, he doesn't want them to. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All the us word. All his people. And he'll have his way. He'll have his way concerning them all the way to the time that they breathe their last breath. He'll determine that time. He's determined the day of their death. He's determined the instrument of their death. And he'll have his way in everything. And it'll be perfect. It'll be right. It'll be good. It'll be good for his people. They'll not perish eternally. And if he wills it, they'll not even perish physically. They may be here at his coming. So when we pray, how do we pray? I thought about this. I mentioned this to someone. I said, in a lot of cases, when we, as one of, I believe it was Pat Robertson and his crowd or something, they said one time that they prayed the hurricane off the coast. Well, just suppose I prayed it off of North Carolina and prayed it on to South Carolina. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I just pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're not trying to get God to do our way. We're seeking to give him, to give us grace to bow to his way, to rejoice in his way, to trust in his way, and to know that it will be done, and to delight in that truth. This is one of our greatest comforts. The Lord hath his way. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You say, well, how do you know the will of God? Well, just pray, thy will be done. And we'll ask according to his will. And whatever happens, we'll know it was his will, that he had his way. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and the storm and in everything else. Zion is to remember this particular thing. Thy God reigneth. And we rest our weary, wondering heads on that soft pillow. Verse 7. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth. He loves them that trust in him. Some people divide the desire of God and the will of God. In Job we read that he's in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. The Lord hath his way. In my unbelief, sometimes I just kick against that. But when he has given me clear sight, the sight of faith, I can rejoice in it. The Lord hath his way. You go out tomorrow, we get the storm, the Lord had his way. We don't get it, the Lord had his way. And whatever else happened. But just remember this. The only reason we know mercy and grace is because the sovereign Lord had his way. His way. And it's a way of righteousness. Father, we thank you for your word, for your precious promises. We thank you that you are the way that you are, and that you're pleased to reveal it to your people. Enable them to trust you and rejoice in this good news about who you are and what you do. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, and we're the clay. We know all your ways, the way that's in Christ Jesus, who is the way. And we thank you for mercy and grace in him. Pray in his name. Amen. Amen.